Chapter 10, been kind of surveying Romans. We really have not been going through verse by verse like I usually like to do, but surveying Romans. And tonight, there's two words in chapter 10 that are very important, and I'm going to look at each of those in turn. The first one you're going to see in verse 1 is the word saved. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Whosoever, the Bible says in verse 13, that's us. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he talks about that a couple of times. And then there's another word that goes right along with that. In fact, you can't have one without the other. It's the word righteous. If you see in verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law for righteousness is no more. He's the end of that. To everyone that believeth. And you could pull that word out of there too a little bit, because it's seen quite often. Moses describeth the righteousness in verse 5. The righteousness which is by faith in verse 6. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness in verse 10. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed, except it exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And they were very particular people, but they weren't righteous enough. Only Christ is righteous enough. So saved and righteous. We probably, if you go soul winning, I think you may say with me that Romans 10 might be your favorite chapter in the Bible. Well, I've got some others, but maybe they're all our favorites. Amen. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read just a few verses tonight and look at the setting in chapter 10, which may surprise you a little bit. And then we'll just look at a quick outline and be on our way. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, this is Paul speaking, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for all that you've done to allow us to be here. Our health, our strength, our provision, the transportation we have, our homes, our just many, many things you've done that we take for granted. But Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for our visitors that are here tonight. I pray for folks that are not here tonight, that cannot be here, or perhaps were distracted in some other way, that you'd work in each of their lives and bring them back to us safely. We think of Bill. I pray you'd care for him and heal him and raise him back up. I think of Carlos as he recovers from his surgery. Care for him. I think of Brenda, who's not feeling well. Care for her. We do pray for the Wellman family again tonight. Lord, work in their situation in a great way. We've already seen some encouraging things, but Lord, we just trust that you would be a very present help in their time of need, just as you promised. But Lord, give us a good time the next few moments in the Word of God. Help us to see things that we remember and that apply, and that we can use in our lives and perhaps make us a better soul winner, a better Christian, draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. There's something about Romans chapter 10 that's going to surprise you. I know some of us, we've been going to church for many decades. We're not easily surprised. But what you're going to see in Romans chapter 10 is the great majority of this chapter is a quotation from various places in the Old Testament. A bunch of them. Let me show you those real quick. And if you want to try to flip around and find them, I'll read them to you either way. But look at verse 5. He says, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. He's quoting Leviticus 18:5. He says in that verse, which if a man do, he shall live in them. So he's quoting verse 5, the quotation from Leviticus 18:5. Verses 6 through 8 are quotations from Deuteronomy 30:11-14. And I'm not going to read all that, but it's really precise. For example, verse 11 in Deuteronomy 30 says, this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven? And he goes on, but it's the same thing he says there in Romans 10, 6 through 8. Verse 11 in Romans 10 quotes Isaiah 28:16. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That's an interesting way of saying that about being ashamed and not run away in verse 11. Verse 15 quotes Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And of course, verse 15 is talking about you and I when we take the gospel to people and people that preach the gospel. Isaiah 53:1 is quoted in verse 16. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 19 quotes Deuteronomy 32:21. Verse 20 quotes Isaiah 65:1. Verse 21 quotes Isaiah 65:2. It's almost like we're reading the Old Testament here. But it's kind of exciting because, again, Romans 10 is an exciting chapter. If you just had to pick a few chapters of the Bible to have, I want this one because this one tells me what I need to know. I do think it would be a great idea for you to memorize part of this chapter, and particularly those things between verses 9 and 13. Whosoever in verse 13 shall call, but not just that. Verse 9, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, if thou confess, and so on. And that's verse 10. But anyway, let's look at a quick outline here and just show you some things that Paul does and how he does it. He starts out in verse 1 with his care. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a burden. Folks, we must have a burden. When I ask my young people questions in high school Bible class, of course, I have an agenda. I'm trying to trick them, and I'll ask them questions, and then I'll try to point them the right way. But I ask them, of course, I told you, I ask them, what's a good day? They say, I'm having a good day, I'm not having a good day. You know what? A good day is when God's will is done. When David Wellman steps into eternity, if that's God's will, it's a good day. It's a sad thing for us to part from him, but it's a good day. having a burden ought to be a priority in our life and not just something that we remember when we come to church. But so many times our heart's desire is not that, but it's something else. What is your heart's desire? A lot of folks desire, we don't need to go into the list, the money, the entertainment, the pleasure, the whatever. Paul said, you know, if you looked at my heart and you look in that little box there that said number one desire, I want to see Israel get saved. Yeah. And Lord ought to give us a burden if we'd pray, and you might do this. Pray, Lord, give me a burden for souls. Amen? That would be more important to me than the 20 other things that occupy my life or whatever distracts us. Paul cared. He had a burden. And pray, God, please give us a greater burden for souls. Israel, on the other hand, had confusion. You start to see that in verses 2 through 4. And he describes that confusion really well in verse 3, and I won't read the whole verse again, but essentially they realized that righteousness was important, but they didn't know how to get it. And they were confused thinking they could make themselves righteous by keeping or by pursuing the law. You ever try to catch something that's really slippery? I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe an eel. Or have you ever reached into the river and tried to grab a fish and you find out that they're covered in this slime and they just slip between your fingers? That's the way the devil is. And I told you how last Thursday night, for the second time, the Mormons came over and I sat down with them. And they're slippery and they're changing things all the time. And I've talked to a lot of them, and it worries me when I talk to two people that claim to be part of some religion, and they tell me one thing, and then a couple of months later, somebody tells me something different, and then a couple of years later, somebody tells me something different. Folks, what we believe comes from the Bible, and the Bible doesn't change.
Right.
And those folks are slippery, and so I thought I knew how I was going to grab them, and they're slippery. And they, for example, it's very clear to me, you are not saved by works. And I remember really well having countless conversations with folks, and a lot of folks think they're saved by works, and it's a very common misconception or confusion. And they change their story on me. And I almost want to say, hey, wait a minute, you're lying to me. Just be honest with me. I had to take them to their own articles of faith and show them what they believe because they're trying to lie to me. That's the way the devil is, though. He's pretty sneaky. And the devil had the Jews deceived, and they thought they could keep the law. They could become righteous by doing. It's not what you do, it's what Christ did. Don't be confused about that, amen? So Paul's burden leads to Israel, and Israel's got a confusion about how to be righteous. Don't be confused about that. This chapter tells you how you can be righteous. Then there is God's contrast. So we see what Paul's burden is. We see Israel's confused. So God's got a contrast. You could say this is a truth in verses 5 through 7. And look what he does in verse 5. He says, for Moses describeth, and hey, maybe that's why what we see over and over and over and over in Romans 10 is quotations from the Word of God. Quotations from the Word of God. Quotations from the Word of God. Amen? Because that'll settle the confusion, won't it? Pretty exciting to hear a testimony to where I've done that before when I was with someone and they didn't speak the language I spoke and vice versa. And you got a two language Bible. And I've done this in Maryland with a Spanish Bible. And I knew the verse in English and I'd look the verse up in English and I'd say, here, read this in Spanish. And they'd read the verse in Spanish. It's a lot of work, but folks, the Word of God can get you saved. And that's where the confusion ends, and that's where the contrast or the truth comes from the Word of God. And he says very plainly, Moses wrote, he described the righteousness by the law, you got to do it. But, verse 6, here's the contrast, the righteousness which is of faith, and then he goes into a rather detailed discussion about Christ, and I can't get into that all tonight. I can just tell you this, folks, Christ came down from heaven, from his throne in heaven. He became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. He lived a sinless life. He kept the law. And then he was crucified. He had no sin to die for. He could not have died based upon any sin of his own, but he could die because he took our sins upon him. And we can live because he gave us his righteousness. He took our place. There's a hymn about that, Mr. Dahlman. I'll give you the challenge of finding that. No, really, we have to understand the Bible clears up the confusion. The contrast is here's what people think, but here's what God said. And that always is going to work for you. Don't worry about that. So Paul's burden is care in verse 1. Israel's confusion in verses 2 through 4. God's contrast in verses 5 through 7. And then, oh, these verses. Salvation's call. I think it would be very good to memorize many of these. He starts in verse 8, but I'll begin in verse 9. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, well, then that might save you. Is that what it says? It could work. Well, it's part of a bunch of things you got to do, right? Is that what it says? Read the last four words with me together. thou shalt be saved. Now, you can't be saved unless you're righteous. I'm not changing the Bible, but thou shalt be righteous. Amen? Because now you have the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith. He goes on, he says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. He talks about the fact that Jews and Greeks are saved the very same way in verse 12. And how many times have we quoted verse 13 to over and over and over to people? And don't, by the way, don't just jump to verse 13. Get them there the right way. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm sorry if I told you this story before, but it's a good story. I had an office mate back before I was in the ministry, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he would come to the office, and we would go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he had his books. The Jehovah's Witnesses have published massive quantities of stuff, and he had his books. And so one day, I asked him, his name was Jerry. Jerry, what pays for sin? How do you get your sins forgiven? And, you know, I've asked him a question. He'd reach over, get his book, flip, 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 flip. And so I said, Jerry, what pays for sin? And he gets his little book, flip, 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 and he says, Romans chapter 10. Oh, hey, we're on to something here. I said, really? What part of Romans chapter 10, Jerry? And he took me to these verses. He's a Jehovah's Witness. Okay, I'm liking this. And so I said, well, read me verse 13, Jerry. And he says, well, the Bible says, it says here in verse 13, and he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think he was reading the wrong translation, but that's the verse he read. And I said, Jerry, have you done that? And he got real quiet. It seemed like a minute, but it wasn't. It was probably 10 seconds or 8 seconds. And he's sitting there. And you can see the little wheels turning. And I'm thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. And you can see him thinking. And he says, oh, it doesn't mean that. Man! And from that time on, I never could get the guy close. That was the last chance I felt like closest I ever got him was right there. No, it does mean that. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, don't miss the verses before that. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And don't forget the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He died for us. He gave us his righteousness, 1 Corinthians 5:21. We have the righteousness of God because of him. And when you call upon him, you get saved.
Amen.
So you got Paul's care, Paul's confusion, God's contrast, salvation's call. Now, I got to stick with my C's, so I apologize for this one. But faith's co-requisite. Faith's co-requisite. Look at verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You ever stay up Christmas Eve when your children were little putting together a toy? And you got the instructions? And you got to put the first part on before you put the second part on before you put the third part on? And you build that bicycle and there's parts left over? You left something out. It won't work. You got to get all the parts in there. God's given us the steps here, and watch the steps, and I'll go through this with you a lot because you need to remember this. It says, they got to call. Before they can call, they got to believe. Before they can believe, they got to hear. And before they hear, it's got to be preached. And before it's preached, they got to be sent. So you got those steps there, and you could fiddle with that a little bit and come up with a couple more, but let's just leave it like that. I just want to remind you of something. Anybody can call. Anybody can believe if they hear. Amen? I'm not going to go to the agenda. I just want to mention something to you. He did not add anything to that. He did not say some people. He did not say God's got to do something in the middle there. That makes our job very important. We got to tell. Amen? But when we tell and when they hear, that puts the ball in their court, and now they need to believe and call, and that's their responsibility. And it's not that some people can and some people can't. I believe with all my heart anybody can get saved. Everybody's a whosoever if they will call. Finally, Paul's care, Israel's confusion, God's contrast, salvation's call, faith's co-requisite. Here's the last one, Israel's callousness. Verse 16. He says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. And then he tells us, Isaiah 53 here, he says, Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, you got to have a Bible. What has the devil done? He has corrupted and counterfeited the most important things. He's counterfeited the Bible, and we've got corrupt Bibles nowadays. He's counterfeited the gospel. You've got corrupt gospels. He's counterfeited the church. You've got corrupt so-called churches. He's counterfeited a lot of things. Go to the store sometime, or the bank's a better place to do this, and try to give them a counterfeit bill and see what they say to you. I would like to get 520s for this $100 bill. And they're going to take that $100 bill and look at it. I told you about the time we went to Thailand and we took fresh, crisp, good $100 bills to switch into Thai baht so we could have some money to spend when we were over there. And I handed them the first $100 bill and they looked at it. No, give it back. It's good! And they took, I think they took one or two and gave me back one or two. And so from that time on, we used ATM machines after that. But anyway, if you go to God and you've got a counterfeit Jesus or a counterfeit gospel, he's not going to accept it. That's what I explained to the Jehovah's Witnesses last Saturday morning at 11 o'clock and the Mormons last Thursday evening at 8 o'clock is you got to have the right Christ. You got to have the right gospel. And then there's power in that. Israel rejected that. He says in verse 19, did not Israel know? Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Oh, that's us. Folks, aren't you glad God saved us? These us Gentiles that didn't deserve it. He says in verse 20, Isaiah is very bold. Like we could use some boldness too. There's a B there. Burden, boldness, got to be a third one somewhere. He says, Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And you know what's really sad? That's the end of the chapter. Now I want to read one more verse. Well, maybe one or two. But let's just summarize this real quick. You cannot be saved unless you are perfectly righteous. And you cannot be perfectly righteous unless you have the righteousness of Christ. And you get that by faith, not by works. Israel's confusion was they wanted to work for it, and you can't. But I'm going to say something, and just read it, and you can decide what it means, and we'll be on our way. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, this is just a continuing conversation here. And if you want to see the reference to this, it's Isaiah 49, verses 14 and 15, but don't do that right now. He says, I say then in chapter 11 and verse 1, we'll come back to this next week, by the way, hath God cast away his people? So he says, okay, based on what we saw in chapter 10, has God discarded Israel? God forbid. God forbid. That is amazing that it says that. I do not know Greek, but I know that that is an idiomatic translation. It's the only one in the King James Bible. And the Greek behind that is no, no way. And it is God forbid. It is impossible. He said, I also am an Israelite. What is that? Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. We'll go into that next week. Folks, God's got a better plan than we do. Amen? Amen. He is not finished with Israel yet. But in the meantime, he saved us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whosoever. I'm a whosoever, aren't you? Let's all stand and pray.